Chapter 12 with me this morning, please, and verse 1. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Father, bless this holy book now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You remember how long Abraham lived? 175 years. So we're looking at 100 years for he walked with God. Notice that he's called out of darkness. God did not go into Babylon to reform it. He did not go in there to change it. He called Abram from it. He called him out of it. It is that separation that we find throughout the whole Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Abram had no place in that place. He obeyed God, came out of there. And because of that, God had a blessing for Abram that he had for no one else. He says it nowhere else in the Bible, before or after, about an individual, but Abram. In thee, he said, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Nowhere in the Bible can I see where God removed that, where he changed that. It is to this day, you bless Israel, God blesses you. You curse Israel, God curses you. And it's that simple. As a people, they still retain their identity. You can read in the book of Romans, chapter number 11, and it will explain that to you. Abram in the Bible is called father. This is Father's Day. I thought I'd preach about a father to you this morning. A unique father, no other father in the Bible like this one. As a matter of fact, Abram is called father more than any other man in the Word of God that I can find. He is the father. He's the father of the faithful. He's the father of a nation. He's the father of those who believe, and his name is Abram. When God Almighty had given a covenant to Abram, he changed his name from Abram, added the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, hey, and now he is Abraham. And that means from father to high father. Abraham now is the high father. That elevates him spiritually above every other person on the face of the earth. In plainer words, if anyone ever comes to a saving faith in God, he will come by the way of Abraham's faith, for he's the father of all the faithful. It's quite a thing. I mean, this is quite a man we're talking about. Abraham is not the lawgiver. He's not the one who led them out of Egyptian bondage after 400 years. No, Abraham is the one who leads you out of spiritual bondage and shows you what a walk with God is all about. Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Abram is thrice called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20, Isaiah 41, and James chapter number 2. Three times Abram is called the friend of God. Galatians 3, he's called the father of all the faithful who love the Lord. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, verse 7, I love this. This is what God said about Abraham. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Why did he say that? He said that because he is about to incinerate Sodom and Gomorrah, and they would exist no more. And so he's saying to Abraham, You will outlive this, and you will prosper, and you will be blessed, because you are not them. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, For I know him. Now I think that's, to me, that's always been one of the most blessed statements in all the Bible. God said, I know him. I know him. And he knows me, and he knows you. He knows what you're made out of. He knows what you believe. He knows who you really are. It may take you a while in this world to really understand who you are. A lot of people are no more than what they think they are. And some people are no more than what people tell them they are.
But the only thing that really matters is what you really are. And in other words, for you to find out what you really are, it comes by relationship with God. Amen. I know Him, He said, that He will command His children and His household after Him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which He hath spoken of. In other words, God said Abraham's going to lead his family right. Now, fathers, let me tell you something. You have a unique position in the family. You are literally the foundation of that family if you take that position correctly. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you that our enemy is doing everything that he can to destroy the family structure. He wants to tear it down. He wants to redefine it, and he wants to remake it. And he wants to do it in his image. He doesn't tell them that. The pagan out here has his own motivation. He has his purpose for his choices. But there's one much higher than him, and his name is Satan, that is simply using this pagan as a tool on a chessboard, as a piece that he moves here and there in this great spiritual battle that rages above their head. Disney now is drawing children into pornography and sodomy. I wonder if Mr. Disney, Walt Disney, who passed away years ago, I wonder how he'd feel about what Disney's doing. TV stations, TV channels all over this country are pushing Gay Pride Day. And they want to march up and down the streets in their gay pride. Let me make a suggestion for all of you that walk up and down the street in gay pride. Show the people what you do in darkness. Let them see what you're really made out of. And there'll be no pride attached to that. Amen, friend. I've done a lot of reading in my lifetime, and there's nothing to be proud of in gay pride. But it's being pushed by the government. It's pushed by the educational establishment. It's pushed by the businesses, by every means possible in this country. Now, Dad, if you're Dad, if you're a father of your children, then you must pull them out of it. You must protect them from it, and you must educate them about it. And it's up to you to teach these children about this pervert country. I haven't left America. America left me. A long time ago, it left me. And if you're comfortable in this culture, then you got a problem. Even as Lot, as sorry and low down as Lot was, the Bible says the wicked conversation or filthy conversation of the wicked vexed his righteous soul. Amen. Amen. You can read that in the Bible. So what he's saying to me, preacher, I'm saying that if something doesn't happen, if we don't get up, if something doesn't happen about some prayer, maybe a real revival in this nation or something spiritual, we're lost, folks. Amen. It's going to continue to go down. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you look around the world and you see the way they look at us, America is becoming a laughingstock to a lot of the world. What do you mean? Folks, do a little reading. Do a little research. Check Russia. Look at Russia. I know there's a lot of things I don't like about Russia. But a sodomite unfurled his flag not too long ago. And a woman walked up and jerked it out of his hand. It hadn't been 15 seconds. She walked up and jerked it out of his hand and stomped it on the ground. You say that's hate speech. That's what this country has said. Then Eastern Europe. Do some research. And you'll find out that Eastern Europe will not put up with it. A lot of places in Africa are like that too. They will have nothing to do with sodomy. They're laughing at us, folks. They're laughing at us. What America does, we brag and we boast and rejoice about what we used to be, but not what we are now. So God said of Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household. This is what God said about Abraham. Listen to what Abraham said about God. In Genesis 18, verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Abraham is appealing to the character of God. He knows what God's able to do. He knows he can wipe him from the face of the earth. Abraham stood before him and said, I'm but dust and ashes. That's real humility. And a humble heart is the kind of heart that God can talk to. And God Almighty listened to what Abram said. And here's what he said to him. He said, "Shall not the judge of the whole earth or of the earth do right? Shall he not do right? Shall he not do right? He'll do right. He'll do right. He'll do right by America. He'll do right by Spain. He'll do right by France, Portugal, Italy. He'll do right by all of them. He will do right by your family. He'll do right by your father and your mother and your children, your sons and your daughters, your husbands and your wives. God Almighty can't do anything but right." That's what he said. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? And he did. The Bible says in about Abraham and faith time and time and time again. Romans 4:9, "Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." And then again in chapter number 4 of Romans in verse 12, verse 13, verse 16, it talks about Abraham and faith, faith, faith. That's why he's called the father of the faithful. Abraham and his faith, time and time and time again. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here 2,000 years ago, he said this to the people listening to him. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's not talking about these physical ears. That's talking about the ear of your heart. Do you want the truth? That's what we live in. We live in a self-deceived, blinded country and society. Do you want the truth? Do you really want the truth? This is what the Lord said. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear." Hear. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Do you want to hear what God has to say about this? Do you want to hear? Did you know that God can turn this country around overnight? Did you know that the people who go into the church houses with steeples on top of them and sing from songbooks and have reverends that get up in their pulpits and speak to these people Sunday after Sunday? Do you realize that if they got a hold of God and His Word, they would completely change? And do you know what an effect they could have on America? I feel bad about children growing up today. Some of you have little children, and they're growing up in this hell hole. You better watch where you send them to school. Amen. You better watch who their friends are. You better watch who you have over the house. You better watch where they go to camp. You better watch their school. You better watch everything. You better watch it. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust anything. Well, so-and-so goes to church. I don't care if they go to church. What's that? That's nothing. Do they know the Lord? Do they know the Lord? Little children. December the 18th, 1969, my little girl came into the world. December the 18th, 1969 was a different world than this one. I became a daddy. Something moved inside my soul that had never moved before. I realized I was a father and had an effect on me. All fathers in this house, do you know what I'm talking about? That first time you felt that fatherhood. And I loved that little girl, that precious little girl. That was my baby girl. I loved her. I protected her. I would have fought to the death anything that had tried to take that little girl's life. And if you wouldn't, you're not worth a powder and lead. Amen. That's what's wrong with these pacifist Christians today. All you know how to do is turn cheeks. Read Luke where he said, "Buy a sword. Fight for that which is good. Fight for your families." And so I would have watched over her, watched her grow, watched her mature from a little girl into a young woman throughout her school years, watched her grow. Now she's a grown woman, has her own children. We have three precious grandchildren from my little girl. Do you know something? She was a girl. She knew she was a girl. She never had any trouble understanding she was a girl. She went to the hospital, had those babies. She went in as a girl. Ain't no boys in there having babies. She was a girl. And I know it's funny, but in 1969, they would have laughed you to scorn
If you would have said, oh, I don't know what I identify as today. I'm not sure if I'm a boy or a girl. Maybe I'll make it through the day as a boy, but maybe at midnight, when half the day is over, I'll become a girl again. This ignorant, stupid, brainwashed, vile garbage. And the mainstream media is trying to make you think that's normal. Three precious little grandchildren. How many got grandchildren today? You love your grandchildren? I love my grandchildren. Love every one of them. Love them dearly. They're my grandchildren. They're my legacy. God, in 1973, saved my old, sorry, low-down, unworthy soul. He made a daddy out of me. A real daddy. Because he put something spiritual in me. Amen. For my little girl. Amen. This is Abraham. I know him. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Have you ever heard a sermon that stirred you and moved you? You know, preacher gets up and he babbles and he yells and he screams and he carries on. Folks, I've done that thousands of times. But it's nothing. It's just a lot of hot air and wind if it doesn't reach into your heart. Has it reached into your heart? Have you heard anything today? Have you men in here that are fathers, have you gotten a new conviction about walking out of this place today and looking at Caesar in the eye and say, listen to me, Caesar. My kids belong to me. They don't belong to you. I know what's best for my children, not you. That's what Caesar needs to hear. He needs to hear from dads and mothers. Back off! Leave my kids alone. That's what they need to hear. You understand today that your little children are worth more than the car you're driving out there, the house you live in, that boat you're in, the camper, whatever you got. Your kids are worth more than that because you can't buy them and sell them. They're the gift of God. It's time, isn't it? Yeah, it's time. It's time. On the television, all these different networks, now they're coming out in support of gay pride. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. You're watching them show their colors now. And I say once again to the gay people, I don't want to destroy you. I don't want to hurt you. It's not my place to do that. I'll pray for you. You need help. God can help you. He can save you. Some lying devil got on one time here not too long ago and said that I said kill gays. No, I didn't. I quoted the Old Testament scripture that said that's what they do in the Old Testament. I never told anybody to kill a gay person. No, sir. If you come into this house and you're a homosexual, you're welcome here. We'll preach the word here. We'll try to love you here. We want you to get right with God. We want your life to change. We want you to be saved. You've got a house full of friends here. Amen. Down through the years, I've received numerous letters from homosexuals, more than one. And a lot of them are asking for help. And give them help. If you can possibly give them help, you will. The greatest help that anybody could ever get is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I say once again to this lying, deceiving fourth estate and the rest of the crowd that goes with it. If you want to get up and march through the streets and have gay pride, then you show people what you do in your gay pride. You wouldn't be able to stand it. You'd be puking all over the streets. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just do a little surface reading. And you'll be mighty surprised in what I'm talking about this morning. Abraham's the father of the faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country. It's stranger by the day. America is stranger by the day. My, what a strange place this has become. Are you comfortable in America? I'm not. I'm not one bit comfortable in this country. I don't trust them. I don't trust their motives. When I say them, I'm talking about the people running this thing. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. Then verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And here's what he says, we look for a city We look for a country. We look for the coming of the Lord. I become more of a stranger every day. I just don't belong, folks. Everywhere I go anymore, I get sick to death of what's going on around me. And I never will get comfortable with it. It's not my world, it's not my land, or not my people. But let me tell you something today, if you want to have faith in God. And this is the most important thing that I can say to you this morning. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse 23. I want to say this to help you, because to me, it is one of the greatest things in the Bible. What is that? You cannot have faith in God unless you trust in the character of God. What kind of God do we serve? This woke crowd. How many know who the woke crowd is? W-O-K-E, woke. Have you watched how they've turned on their own? Watch that. Watch them. They'll consume their own, exactly like the French Revolution did. They turned on their own. Maximilian Robespierre wound up with having his head chopped off on a guillotine. And he had sent many, many, many people to the guillotine himself. And then he wound up having his own head chopped off. They'll turn on themselves. Do you know why? Because there is nothing absolute in wokeism. It's all relative. And a relative thing is constantly in flux. It depends its source, who's propagating it. There is nothing absolute. Nothing. Nothing for sure and certain. But once you are born of the Spirit of God and saved by the grace of God, you're standing on a firm foundation, immutable, that changes not. That's the difference. That's why we don't consume each other. I don't expect perfection from you. And the law of the Lord, the thing that guides us and the light of our countenance, is this blessed book right here. It's not how some crowd feels in wokeism. Watch them. They'll consume each other. Watch them. So the Bible says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's God. He loves righteousness. He has grace. He has an abundance of mercy. And he makes no mistakes. In the book of Psalm 36 and verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are as a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. I may not understand what's happening to me today or what may happen to me tomorrow. I've lived long enough to know that life has many surprises. Believe me, if you don't know that, you haven't lived long enough to learn that lesson. Out of the clear blue, your life can be turned completely upside down, and you'll not be able to understand one thing about it. That's when you cling to the Lord. That's when you come under the shadow of his wings. That's when you take hold of him and sit at his feet. That's when you run to him as a refuge. You take your courage in the Lord. That's what David did. The Bible says they were going to stone him, and the scripture says he encouraged himself in the Lord. David did that. That's what we have to do. We can't say, God, please explain to me what's happening. Why is this happening? What's going to happen? You can't do that. What you have to do is to come under his wings and say, Lord, regardless of what happens, you're still the Lord, and I love you, and it's not going to change me, and I'm going to take hold of you. And I'm going to take hold of you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to walk before you, because you're the Lord. I know his character. I know his character. He makes no mistake. He doesn't play with us. Satan will destroy you. Matthew chapter number 11, Exodus 34, 5 says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and mercy, goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty.
visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, to the third and to the fourth generation. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I said, if you touch the mountain, you died. That's what it says in Hebrews. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. If you touch the mountain, you died. But if you're on top of that mountain, there's light and mercy and grace and all that goes with it. Think about it for a moment. The mountain is the access to the top. You've got to go up the mountain to get to the top. And they weren't allowed to go up the mountain to get to the top. Now we have a mountain, and it's called Mount Zion. And that Mount Zion, the way is wide open, that you can go up into the presence of the Lord and you can receive from God everything your soul needs. Do you need something from God today? Are you all confused? Are you coming in here full of baggage and hurting? Has Satan worked you over? Has he really gotten a hold of you? Because he will. If he gets a hold of you, he'll make you bitter. If he gets a hold of you, he'll turn you from God. If Satan really puts his, sinks his claws into you, you will become bitter, full of curses. You'll turn from God and you'll turn back to this world. And let me tell you something, dear Christian friend. If you're truly born again, you may turn back to this world, but you'll never be part of this world again. And you can never get comfort from this world. What should I do, preacher? You should run to him. Amen. You should come to him. You should fall before him. You should say to him, Lord, I'm tired of trying to figure everything out. I'm tired of trying to make things happen. I'm tired of trying to make people live the way I want them to live. I'm tired of trying to change circumstances. I'm coming to you. I'm bowing before you. I'm going to put them in your hands. My life, Lord, is in your hands and everything that relates to it. Boy, when you can do that, if you can do that, you've done something. You really have. You know why it's quiet in here? Because you know you heard the truth.
Amen.
What will you do about the truth? That's all some of you need to do. You just need to get before him and give him your life and give him everything about your life. Give him all your troubles, your trials, your burdens, your woes, your family, your workplace, your friends, your church, everything about your life. Say, here it is, Lord. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do that. And it'll be for you just like it was for me when God saved my soul and lifted all that burden off of my soul and changed me in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says this, he's the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. And then the psalmist cries out, and he said, Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. And he is. He's the only hope that you have. Till you leave this world, put your care in his hands. Father, bless your word now. Somebody in here needed to hear this. There's a burden on my soul till I got it off, and now it's gone. Somebody needed this. I pray they'll act upon it. Won't you come right now? Come down here right now. Come down here and give him that that's eating you up. Satan's working you over. You're at the end of your rope. There's no more else. You're worn out. You're tired of the fight. Why don't you come and cast your care upon him? Come and put your life in his hands. Trust him with everything that you are. Trust him with it. You can trust him. God makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. I may think it's a mistake. I may, with my limited mind, I may say, I don't see any sense in this at all. I may say, what is all this about? I may try to figure it out. I may try to come to a conclusion, then try to work it out. Don't do that. Just put it in his hands and live for him. Love him. Walk before him. He's God, and there's none other beside him, and he makes no mistakes. In Jesus' name, won't you come? Won't you come? What do we got, brother? Let's stand up here and sing this morning.
Page 137, the All-American Church Hymnal, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.